thank you and thank you and thank you again that we can chat with our Bible open and we can look and carefully detail things in the Bible that are clear. Others, they are left unknown to us. And so, Father, we pray that those things that belong to us, as Deuteronomy 29:39 said, that we may have a grasp in it and that we may rejoice in the fact that there is a day of your coming. In Jesus we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. All right, the question was placed based on our situation on, and I think you people can see the screen behind me because that would be the analysis. The question was placed on 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 in verse 7. That's where the question was made. In the King James Bible, we read, "For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken," very careful now, "out of the way." So the different through centuries, I would say 1,000 years, people are arguing about 2 Thessalonians. Let's put this, 2,000 years, people are arguing about the coming of the Lord, and I want to show it to you. So we don't want to solve the problem, but at least you're going to get my mind on it and the position that we have in what is my understanding of the scripture. Why do we have 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians? What does that mean? Okay, these writings were what? Look in your Bible.
Letters.
Exactly. This was a letter. See, second epistle. The word epistle means letter. Does any Bible say letter on the top of Second Thessalonian? Second Thessalonian 1 or Second Thessalonian? They say letter or epistle?
Epistle.
Okay. I think if you have it in NIV, we'll say a letter. This was a letter. Now, why do you write a letter to somebody? Tell me, Madeline?
Kathleen.
All right, switch. Why Kathleen? You will write a letter to your aunt. Why?
To see how she's doing
and so on. All right. Anybody want to say, well, why, Greg, will you write a letter to your sister? You don't know. Well, he doesn't write a letter to his sister. All right. But we write a letter for some reason. Is that right?
Yeah.
We write a letter if we want to know something. And somebody tell you something about somebody. Of course, we have telephones now and so on. Or either you got the telephone and you call the person. Or you write a letter and say, hey, you know, somebody told me something. And I want to know about this. All right? So, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, in verse 7, has a lot of, it's not an isolated thing. This is part of the letter. The letter started in chapter 1, verse 1. Is that right? That's what we believe it starts. So now, it would be fair to ask ourselves, why did Paul write a letter? I will just close the door because I listened everything. Happened in different rooms, but I don't need it now. Okay. Have a secret office here. My office is full of electronics. Detect how much money you have in the bank.
Big brother's watching you.
We are. These texts of 2 Thessalonians 2:7 is within a letter. In the letter, you write a letter for some reason. If I write to my daughter, I forget something, or I want to know what she's going to do next month, I pick up the phone and call her, or write an email in the letter. Well, who wrote this letter? Who wrote the letter?
Paul.
Is that right? Paul wrote the letter. To whom he wrote the letter? Look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Read it and tell me to whom he wrote the letter. Very important questions to understand the meaning later on.
To the church?
He wrote to people who were part of the church. Paul and Silvanus, that was his assistant. Like if I write to you, Pastor Otero, Pastor Greg, and Ramil, the people who preach here in this church, something like that, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians. Now, I'm going to use a lot of scratch paper here, so I'm going to buy something a little lower than this. Greg, it will be easy. This is okay, the word church, okay? You tell me if it comes all right here. Comes rather all right, or should we go here?
Yeah, it's a little bit old. Well, you
tell you what. You figure out where you want it.
Right. Yeah, church. Okay. Now that's an interesting word. It's made of two words. Okay. The word church is made of the word ek, and the word klesia. Okay. Here's the word ek. You pronounce it like that, ek, and you pronounce it klesia. Okay. You pronounce it klesia. And you pronounce it ek. Now I'm going to write for you the meaning. Okay? Does anybody know the meaning of the word ek in Greek language? Ek, no? But allo, out means out. Out. America needs of in other language. But let's say out of. Out of. And the word ecclesia is the word in Latin iglesia that we call church. Okay? Is the word call, is the word call, all right, from the verb kleo. From the verb kleo. All right, it's to call. So to call out of, all right. In my sermon this morning, I said to the elect and so on. So elect means somebody was elected someplace and called. So he wrote, you see in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, by the way, he didn't wrote by himself, he wrote it through these three people. He wrote this letter to people who were called out. Now, where are these people? Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, to the people who were called out, where? In Thessalonian. Where is Thessalonian? Anybody know where Thessalonian? It's in America, or in South America, or in Europe? It's in Europe, all right? Eastern Europe or Western Europe? Eastern Europe, because Istanbul is the one who divided the countries, all right? Thinking as European thing, all right? Now Istanbul divided is Eastern Europe. And it's called Asia Minor at that time. It's part of Greek today, okay? Thessalonica, or Turkey, actually. All right, here's what it is. He wrote to the people in Thessalonica, it's called the city, to the people in the city. It's like if somebody write a letter to Bethel of Morgan Hill, all right? It's just somebody write a letter to us. And so this is a letter to these people. Now, why the Apostle Paul, at this time, there were seven churches, well installed, well placed. This is the year about 41 to 45. There were seven churches, good, established, well done. Why did he don't write a letter to all of them? He writes to these people. Why did he write to these people, you know? Like, for example, the cons, how many brothers and sisters? Well, there are six sisters and one brother. No, two brothers. Or five sisters. Five sisters and two
four
brothers.
Four girls and two
brothers. Pardon me? Four girls and two brothers. So you write a letter to Michael. Okay, Kathleen write a letter to Michael. Now that's one out of the others. Okay, he writes a letter to one particular people. So there must be a reason for it, and he does. So I will take this out, and I want to show you some steps I want to go through, and then I don't know if this is right or not. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to do is called the purpose. Okay, let's find out the purpose. And the purpose was to correct false ideas about the Lord's return. And he explained it in chapter 2. What we call it in chapter 2, we can say the second paragraph of the letter. And if you want a copy of this, I make copies after I scramble all over. Okay. Now, remember, we have a letter here written to one church out of seven, and it's written to correct false ideas about the Lord's coming. Now, I don't invent this. We're going to see it and read it with my own eyes. Okay, let's say verse 1. Look what he says in verse 1, all right? Let's see, Catherine, will you read for me verse 1 in your Bible? I guess, see, you are Catherine and you are Kathleen?
I'm
Kathleen.
Kathleen?
Oh, Catherine and Kathleen. I mean, Kathleen, boy. this is an exercise of the wheel here. Okay.
Exercise of the R's.
Second Thessalonians 2:1.
2:1.
Yeah, 2:1.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him.
Oh, all right. In verse 1, he look at the emphasis. He's making an emphasis on the coming of the Lord, not on judgment. Some people make this section on the judgment of God. Far away from that is the idea when you read it. In verse 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. He did not say by the coming of our judgment. All right? All right? It's two different things. Is that correct? The coming of the Lord, for me, is what? That would be good news for you, Kat, Corinne, or it will be bad news for you? It will be good news for you. For some people, the coming of the Lord, who cares? But it's talking about the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming again. All right? So I've made the point, the verse 1 is for the coming of the Lord, not for the day of judgment, like some people say. See, he wrote this paragraph on judgment. He didn't. He said this paragraph is concerning the coming of the Lord. Okay? Now look at in verse 2. Okay? Imagine in verse 2, look at Brother Plika, will you read us verse 2?
Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come.
Well, that's a loaded. Number one, I got the idea that let nothing shake or trouble you about that day. Is that right? Look again to the scripture. I'm not inventing. So I'm going to take this area from here and I'm going to blow it out here. Number one, it said, don't worry about it. Okay? Worry about it. In other words, don't worry about it. Now, what else the verse says? Look at it again. He said, let no soon shaken in mind. In other words, don't make a big deal about it. All right? Don't play. What else they said it? Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, nor from us. You know what that means? Number two is that some people, how do you call it when you sign for somebody else and you think, oh, look at what so-and-so said and you did it. How do you call that?
Forgery,
okay. Some people, forgery, Paul's signature. Do you see it over there? Read it carefully. See? He said, don't be held, oh, look at how careful verse 2 said, be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. See? So, somebody did a forgery and sent a letter to them. And who knows, we don't have that letter, and the apostle doesn't elaborate anything about it. We don't know, yes.
Well, it could also be that they're claiming, that someone else claiming they received the letter from yeah. Paul, and they didn't bother showing
them. And could be the other letter, who knows what the other letter would say about the coming.
If it even exists,
okay? So somebody said, oh, the Apostle Paul told me in a letter, you know? All right, so another one, don't worry about it. Some people forgery, and the Apostle is very strong here, as the day of Christ is at hand. And the only thing he say is, the day of the Lord is at hand means came. See? Is at hand. So the whole events of the Olympics are at hand. They are developing. Last week we had the Olympics, all right? No, last week we have our brother Bush convention. The 2 weeks ago, we can say when we were on those weeks, oh, the Olympics are at hand. I mean, they are developing. And so the day of the Lord already came. So don't even think about it. See? So these people, And if you read 1 Thessalonians, you know already in chapter 4, that some people say already the resurrection happened and so on. But let's take this paragraph. So he is saying in verse 2, don't worry about it. Then he is saying, some people, you know, you maybe have a letter, or our brother Greg said, somebody said to you that he received a letter, and he showed you something, it's a forgery, it's not true. And some people are saying that the Lord is at hand. What that means, the people were saying to these elect of Thessalonica, to this church, what they were saying, those people? Some people were preaching what?
Christ has come
already. Christ come already.
You guys are obviously left behind.
So. Yeah, you may be left behind. Who knows what the details were. But one thing is for sure. Some people, 2,000 years ago, look at that. So don't be surprised today somebody says, oh, Christ came already. 2,000 years ago, some people said, Christ came already. Yes, sir.
So that word at hand, does that mean, what does that mean?
It means now.
It means now. It means
it means actually, remember Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand when he went to the cross.
Yeah.
It's right now it's happening. Something like that. So we elaborate that word. I'm making notations here, and then I elaborate in the Greek language that word for you in the next class. But yes, sir.
I may be mistaken, but I think it's Jehovah's Witnesses. Had said that Christ had already come, or they were predicting on, I think. And then when he didn't come visibly, they said it was a secret coming.
Oh, okay.
In which they weren't part of it, so what does it say about them?
Well, you can see that this stuff, for some reason, I look on it and I review this before coming to the class again. I can't believe it. I said, why is this stuff here? But God is so wise. You can see that the Bible is of God, because all the events of life messing around with the coming of the Lord, right? They say, oh, the Lord is coming, glorious, and let's have hope about it. People make a mess. And 2,000 years ago, they made it, and now the Jehovah Witness, what it was, 1814, I guess, no? I know the 1914 was the last one.
Yeah.
They keep on saying the kingdom of God. And this is, when somebody said, I know approximately when the Lord is come, he's not of God, according to this verse 2, don't listen to that, you know?
Yes, sir.
I thought you had it. Any question? It's clear? Because we go verse by verse. Is that clear? Right? Catherine? All right. Okay, now, let's look in verse 3. Brother Al, you read us verse 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
All right. Now, here is, we have to elaborate also these things here, okay? Now, verse 3, let no man deceive you. Now, do you people understand what that word deceiver? Let me see if I can get the Greek word here in verse 3. Let no man. You know what that means? Is that the word? It's no aner, which is a man, is the word anthropos, mankind. So let no mankind deceive you, because your dog is not going to come. The Lord come another day. The Lord, the dog would not say that, but the man would. Okay? Mankind would. So man deceive you. No, anyone deceive you. The emphasis on deceive you is cause a deception. You know what deceiving is? What do you think deceiving is? Come on, girls and boys, tell me. What deceiving is? Let no man deceive you. What does that mean? Brother Preacher?
That's only one thing.
Telling you one thing and it's something else. Is that right?
Yeah.
What else we can say on the word deceiving? Brother Preacher, what? Belgrade?
Trick.
Nobody trick you. I like that.
Lie
to you, you know, they trick you. So,
I really didn't mean that.
You know, I trick my dog, you know, when I was little. I said, have candy, and I put a candy here, and the poor dog went over there, and there's no candy, you know. Yes.
And often they're deceived themselves, so they don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah, they don't realize. Like some I said this morning clearly, if you don't have the injection from God or Christ, if the hidden manna is knowing you for 10 reasons called the hidden manna, we can expect anything. So, but we're talking about these people who claim believers. So they said, let no man deceive you. So one is watch out. Okay? Watch out. All right? Oh, now, what else verse 3 says? Look. By any means. For that day shall not come. Now we have some clues here on events. Okay? That day should not come. He said, except. What do you think that means, that little transaction? What do you think that means? What God is saying to us? Before the Lord come,
something
needs to happen. Yeah. So that's good information. Number two, before the Lord Jesus Christ come, something need to happen. Don't worry about the time. We continue this next class. And I come from Mexico, I do it and go back. All right. So something needs to happen. Now my question then immediately is, what? Okay? What needs to happen? All right, let's look on it. Verse 3. Except, he said, there come a falling away first. So A, let me see how I'm doing, okay? Yeah, put it right here. You see it. A, what it means falling away? Let me look in the text here. It said they come a falling away first. All right. What means falling away? Some people call that other word. Apostasy. See, means no. Apostasy means to post as a soldier. Ab means no soldier anymore. There is a falling away. Now, not talking about unbelievers, is that right? It's talking about inside the church. See? Let's read it again. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Okay? So, number one, A, there will be, how you call it, a falling away, in simple words? There will be... there will be some people who... Apostate, you know...
Leaving the faith.
Leaving the faith. The people leaving the faith.
Forsaking
the faith. You know what forsaking the faith is? You're a member of your family. They say, oh, I'm ashamed of my family. I don't want it anymore. My name is Nomor Otero. It's something else. I'll even raise that. You know, I don't want to be part of that. So there will be people that they do not want to be part of the calls out. And calls out means, remember we started our word calls out in here?
Church.
All right. The word ecclesia calls out. Okay? They don't want to be a part of the calls out. They don't want to. Now, what else? There is a second thing. Verse 3 said, let no man deceive you by any means, for there is, except there come a falling away first. So there were some people they don't want to be a part of you anymore. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So now, I want to say, there will be a revelation, of... Now, look at carefully how God carefully wrote this. He said, it said, put it away, and the man of sin be revealed. The man, again, is anthropos, is a human being who is a sinful person, is going to be revealed. So, revelation of man, we're going to put what God wrote, man of sin. I mean,
singular for man, or
singular
for mankind again?
No, it's a singular anthropos. Okay. One man of sin will be revealed. Okay. We'll say the origin. So now we got a little trouble. Okay, so we get another clean paper and we put this one here. I give you all these scratch papers so you can put it together. Let's see what we did. We are in verse 3. Okay, we are in verse 3. I'm okay, Greg, over there. Okay, verse 3. And in verse 3, we had this cover, according to all my scratch thing I did, we have, God is saying, in a positive way, and a positive. Be not deceived. Be no fool. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right? And then he clarified two things in this. Number one, there will be people in the church who want to get out, who wants to get out. I mean, really massive. Now, we have people here that come in and people go out, really massive. And then number two, a man will be point out the point out as number one powerful evil. These are words that I created, okay? Powerful evil is not in the Bible, but man of sin means the maximum expression of sin. Powerful evil. All right? There are two events, according to these, there are two events that is going to happen, according to these verse. So he's saying to the church of Thessalonica, he's saying, now listen carefully, don't panic, don't get yourself worry about it, because I give you a clue, he said. And of course, this God was dictating this. I give you a clue. These two events have to be. The church has to be disbanded. The real church is going to be disbanded. And then number two, there will be a man, an anthropo, singular, a man, distinguished about any other in the world, who will be a sinful, evil person as you never saw anybody again. Again, this for me is what I correct. He wrote as he wrote all of these. He wrote all of these as an intro, okay? As an introduction, introduction. In other words, he said, "Now let me tell you briefly what it is. These things are going to happen." Now he goes into the detail. After that, you know, Paul writes like this. He gives you a real introduction with the details here and there and there and there. He put this scenario before you. He said, "This is what it is," and so on. And then he picks one point and goes into detail. Now, amazing enough, the verses that follow in the entire chapter picks on one point, picks on that man of sin, and on the forces that control him today. So he is going to give us some hints about the time of Christ's coming, pointing out to the man of sin, the man of sin. And so we will see verse by verse, all right? Now, what do we want to know about that man of sin, okay? We are going to put these papers more clean and you'll see it better. All right, verse 4. Now we're going to work in verse 4. Here is the details. Okay, that details in verse 4. Now, in verse 4, let me see who. Angela, can you read that verse 4, please?
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
So I'm going to write a statement, and then you're going to, then we put the details. Verse 4. This is what this man is going to do. He claims to be God. That's what verse 4 says. Look at verse 4. Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God. So he exalted about God. And we know in Isaiah who did that. All right. So here is a man who exalted about God. He wants to be he want to be God, actually. All right? So he claims to be God. I know everything, and whatever I tell you is a revelation of God because I am God. That's what he's saying. Now, if you look to verse 4, there are some details of this man. He opposes. B, look at what he says in verse 4. He exalted himself. exalted himself, because nobody else will take note of him. He wanted to be only the number one. He exalted himself, he said, above all that call God, or that is worship, so that he is as God seated in the temple of God. It's not that he's seated in the temple of God. He is as God seated in the temple of God. See, he takes supremacy in opinion, like God. He's not sitting in the temple of God. He is like God sitting. He is as if he was sitting in the temple of God. He said in verse 4, and showing himself that he is God. And then number D, he even believed himself, believes he is the only one. You know, when you say I'm God, I'm the only one. My opinion, I say it, that's it, that's what counts. You follow me, you interpret, you follow my books, you follow my preachings, and that's it. So now, verse 3 said, don't be afraid that, don't be afraid that about the coming of the Lord. There will be two massive signs. People will be leaving the churches. There are no more the classic church preaching about God and study. And they will deny the Lord Jesus. And then one guy is going to say, I know everything and I'm in charge of everything. All right? One guy. One guy.
Sounds like a Pope.
Pardon me?
Sounds like the Pope.
It sounds like the Pope and some other people that I know. You know, they said, my opinion counts.
Difficult with early Christians here that when Nero came to power, you know, Caesar and worshiping as God and killing, you know, Peter and Paul, a lot of other Christians, there probably were people leaving the church then that they probably thought, oh, this is it.
This is it. That's why in every century there is a massive expression of some kinds of things. In the 1100s, people thought the church was there, but there was no church.
Yeah.
You commit a sin, you pay so much and to the church, and I forgive your sin. I, a man, forgive your sin, like I'm God, and so on. By the 1300s, things were completely off. They were collecting money to build the cathedrals in Germany, and so on. And then one guy find the Bible, you know, and trigger. Now, in this case, nobody recovers. In this case, there is no recovery. There is no sign of recovery. The situation is, we are going down the hill. See, he said, don't panic. So before we judge, is this the season? If somebody is still preaching the scripture, then we're still on solid ground. But when nobody preaches the scripture at all, and everybody leaves, and there is absolute control, that's what Rome tried to do in the 1500s, and God just took one man, Luther, and he found Romans and believed and changed the entire world. All right? So, but each century is worse. Mm-hmm. Each century is worse. Who knows in this century what's going to happen?
Is the point, the context of the falling away really mean the entire church?
The entire, there is a past, if you read the churches of Revelation, they already happened. Okay? But God says stay there. Now here doesn't say anything about stay or not staying. It's saying don't panic. You are not left out. So far looks like the falling away in you. You are right there. So you are not left out. See, God is not saying now I'm going to move you away. He said, you know, this is going to happen, but you stay there. If you, by next when I come in October, I pick up the churches in Revelation, and in one church, God is saying, there is nothing there. The church is there, but you stay down. Right. Stay there.
Well, I say that I'm trying to say it in the right context, but I mean, there's a lot of false churches, you know, today too. Like, you know, we have gay. I mean, there's gay church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the sort of.
I'm saying churches that deny
the church.
Right. So I mean, you're not saying that. I mean, you're not saying that everybody's going to. like there won't be no church, you know.
No, this is what happens. Churches have different doctrines, but it's still a church, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and preach Jesus Savior. There will be a time where that is gone. The guy is going to tell you what to do. Okay. That's what he said. All right, let's go to now verse 5. Okay. we go so far for verse 4. Now, we go to verse 5. Would you like to read it, verse 5? Okay.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?
In other words, he's saying not to ignore instruction. So what he is saying, he said, remember these things. So he said, you should not ignore instruction. What do you think that is appealing to us? To say, what is he saying to us?
Meditate on
every scripture. If you are interested in the coming of the Lord, just look for the passages that talks about the coming of the Lord altogether. Do not isolate one little thing here and make a big deal about it. Just go to all the passages. It talks about, like, Matthew 24, talking about the coming of the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 to 31, talking about the coming of the Lord. Every place is talking about the coming of the Lord. Be with good instructions about it. He said, very careful. He said, remember ye not when I was yet with you, I told you things. You know, well, he taught them personally. Now, verse 6, okay? And Mildred, will you read us verse 6?
And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time.
All right. Verse 6 said this, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed. In other words, verse 6 is saying this, there is a withholding, withholding of this event. And he said it with great confidence. He said, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealing his time. So there is a withholding, and there is a time for full revelation. Now, that tells me, that verse 6, or the guy who is doing this, of the one that wants to be God. In verse 6, he's saying, I want you this. There is a withholding. In other words, right now this is kept like a cover. Somebody is putting their hands over there and is keeping the guy away. But there will be a full revelation. What does that mean, full revelation? Look at verse 6. Might be revealed in his time. In other words, right now he's like somebody pressing him. Nobody can see it. But there will be a time when this person is going to be revealed. But what that speak to us? We are the church of the living God, like Thessalonica. We are living better than Thessalonica 2,000 years later. We are at the time of Thessalonica. They had no idea what he's talking about. But we do have idea what he's talking about. And they said, there is something that is withholding him, is putting a brake on him. But so far in this verse doesn't say he's going to remove the brake. He said, but there will be a time. Look at important that he might be revealed in his time. All right? In other words, this guy has a timetable where he's going to appear. Now, this is important. When he appears, everybody will know. Every Christian will know what is truth and what is not truth. All right? You know, because the truth is in you, so you know. When somebody show you in the Bible, you know what is truth and not truth. All right? And so, verse 6 is saying, right now you don't have to worry about it. Somebody is putting the hand on it. But there will be a day with that hand, a set time, God has a set time where that man is going to be out in the street, and you will see it. All right? So any question on this? In other words, you will have full knowledge that that is not the truth. What this guy is saying is not the truth. Okay? All right? Let's go to the critical verse. Verse 7. So, get a piece of paper for verse 7. All right? Verse 7, we're going to work in verse 7. All right? Verse 7. Now, remember, the guy is on the market. Remember, First John said, we do have many
Antichrist.
But this is one. There's no many, it's singular. It's one. And nobody knows, but somebody is holding him like that, and we're going to know now who's holding him. And there will be a moment that the holding is going to be removed, and you and I will know. Oh, that is the time. Doesn't mean it's the end. I mean, that is the time. All right. Now, let's go to verse 7. Very critical. Brother Prater, read us verse 7.
For the mystery of iniquity that already worked, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
All right. Now, verse 7 in general is saying this to us, and I'm going to put my type note so that you see it. Here's what verse 7 said. He will come when the restrainer is removed. This man, who is so anxious to take over the world, one day the restrainer will be removed, and he will come. Now, my question is this. Who can restrain the power of sin? Let's go back to the first book of the Bible. Who God used as a restrainer, as somebody who holds sins? It's chapter 6 of Genesis. And verse 3. Number 6 and verse 3. I want to read it for you. Here's what the Bible speaks. The person who does, you know what restraint is, put the brake on you, okay? In your house, your daddy said, hey, no. Now, in my house, when I was your age, I would ask permission to my mama. Mm-hmm. My mama said, oh, I think so. No, to my daddy. So I think so. Then I went to my mama. I said, no. Oh, daddy said yes. You know, and they were in a room talking about. Then my mother come back and with the big hands and said, zoom! Don't do that again. All right. See?
Forgiven. So if they were just looking at Jesus as a prophet and saying to him, you know, you're a demon-possessed prophet or man, because the Son of Man, Jesus uses that term because he was born, right, born of a woman, but the Son of God is what he was referring to himself as God, you know. So how did they know? You know, like, why did Jesus respond to them like the way he did, unless he knew that they knew in their heart that this was the Messiah indeed, in the sense of this is the Savior, this is God. That could be the uniqueness of that sin, that they really did know. Because in John, you know, he does say to them, you know who I am, and you know where I've come from. It's very confusing.
Right.
You know, because other places in that chapter 8 of John, I need to look at that again, when they're questioning where you're from. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
If they just said,